Hey gang, are you a fan of podcasts and Law & Order SVU? Well, I have the show for you. The seminal SVU podcast, Munch My Benson, is the twisted love child of co-hosts Adam Schwitters and Josh Dugan, celebrating the splendid and often wildly inappropriate lunacy found only on Law & Order SVU. Each week, Adam and Josh walk you through a random episode of SVU, all while sharing their smart and hilarious insight. Find Munch My Benson wherever it is you stream your podcast, or go to munchmybenson.com for more info. That's Munch My Benson. Gang, we all know Spotify has become the ultimate app destination for music lovers. I have an account and I love it. I find new music by following Tastemaker playlists, and I make my own playlist that I share featuring music from guests that have been on the show. Well, did you know that Spotify not only has millions of songs, they also have thousands of podcasts. All your favorite are on there, including Fresh Air, Michelle Obama, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and of course, How Did I Get Here? That's right. Just go to Spotify.com or download the app from your app store, and don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here? That's Spotify. Millions of songs and thousands of podcasts.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host, Johnny Howdy.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. I'd like to introduce my co-host for today's show. Got my Google Nest all mic'd up and ready to go. Hey, Google. How you doing today?
I'm good. What's up with you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Glad to hear it. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you.
Will do. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. I know that people are out there voting, and they're voting in record numbers in the early voting. And there's a week left in early voting. You have till Friday if you live in Texas to vote. I don't know, check wherever it is you live, but you know, get out there and early vote. It's very easy. You just run out there. You do it. It actually took me longer to vote. Like, there was no line. I just walked right up, did my thing. Took me longer to vote than it did to park and go in the place. So, early voting. Get out there. Don't forget to vote, man. I know that sometimes it seems like if everyone's doing it, oh, then I don't have to. But remember, man, it's pretty important, man. You're locked in your home. I'm sure you've lost business. We've all lost business. It's a terrible, crazy, crazy time. If you want change, you can vote it in, okay? So don't forget to vote. You have until Friday. Hey, Google. Have you voted?
I understood. I have you voted. Is that right?
No, what I said is, have you voted?
Google Home is a voice-activated speaker powered by the Google Assistant. That's me.
That's great to know. Hey, Google, who do you think's going to win the election?
I've been looking into my crystal ball really hard. So far, I predict many exciting games and people with face paint.
So you got that to look forward to. It's going to be face-painted people running around doing things. I have a great show for you guys today. Andrea McGee from Beetroot Revival is putting out her debut solo album. It's called Only Love. It comes out this Friday, November 6th. Yeah, it's coming out on CD. It's coming out in the streaming areas. She's also celebrating with a live stream show on Friday, November 6th, 5 p.m., on Facebook. That's 5 p.m. Central Time, because I know that she's from Ireland, and she's a great, great singer-songwriter. Hey, let's see if Google knows anything. Hey, Google, can you tell me about the band Beetroot Revival?
On the website beetrootrevival.com, they say, combining elements of retro pop, rock and blues with a bit of Celtic influence, Beetroot Revival is a high-energy, charismatic duo whose performances have been bringing audiences to their feet.
There you go. And Andrea McGee is releasing her solo album, Only Love. This is her debut solo album. She's been putting out records with Beetroot Revival. She's been playing with Ula, the Irish folk band. She plays with Pack, the all-lady, rock and roll extravaganza. They've been doing some live streams. And this is Andrea's first outing on her own. She worked with producer Stuart Sullivan. She had a lot of great people on the record, including legendary guitarist Dave Scheer, one of my favorite guitarists and dudes around. Anyway, we have a fantastic conversation about making the record, her life under quarantine, her life with Beatroot Revival, her her work with PAC, the all-lady jam band, including like Kelly Green, Carrie Hudson, Violet Lee is playing bass with them. All kinds of people are in this band. All right? So, well, I guess before we get to the conversation, hey, Google, thank you for joining me today.
You got it.
That was kind of slow. Anyway, from Beatroot Revival, enjoy my conversation with the amazingly talented Andrea McGee. Hey, Google, can you say, let's get down?
You know I'd tell you if I knew.
Let's get down. So you ventured out. You
went to a place. I did. We sat outside.
Yeah.
And I went and had a salad at Austin Java. It's bizarre how like that is now such a luxury.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah. The other day I went to Hotel Vegas. My friend was in town from New York and he was like, "Hey, let's go to hotel." And I was like, "What? What do you mean?" He was like, "You can go in the back and hang out." Yeah, we can go.
I know. It's almost when you hear it from like other people that when I first heard someone had been to a restaurant, I was like, I don't think these are even working. I was like, "What?" And they were like, "Well, it's kind of like the way you go to the grocery store, you know, if you." And I was "Oh, okay, but still,
Yeah.
But Dave and I went for the first time last week. Just like our normal to go thing, like after doing anything, was always like to get like a frozen margarita and maybe a quesadilla, you know, late at night. You know what it's like? We don't have normal structure.
Right.
And we were like, "Well, we do it. Let's try it." It was outdoor place. And we had a fear that it would be closed because it was this little Mexican restaurant that we loved, family run. And we got there and they were there and everybody was outside wearing masks. And they were so happy that people were there that it was like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, this feels good. This feels so good. And the cheese quesadilla, we were both like, does it feel just magical or something? But yeah, it was good.
So you guys have been holed up together. I saw you, I want to say that I saw you on, when were you on Fox 7? It was already quarantine time.
That might have been, I released the first single from this album that I'm releasing at the very start of like the whole quarantine, because my friend's daughter started a charity, Frontline Foods, and I was kind of like humming and hawing, like, should I release, should I not release? And then I was like, I'm just going to release it, but I'm going to make it, you know, have a positive impact during a weird time, because I felt like, shit, like, can you actually be like, hi there, here I am with my music during a time that the world is ending? You know, I was very conscious of that.
Andrea, I've been telling people that I have this feeling like I think I know how like the keyboard player in the band on the Titanic felt, like once it was sinking. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, just keep on playing. It's going to be fine. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we'll be in New York in no time. There's a guy here that books bands in New York. It's going to be great. Yeah. Just keep on playing. It's great. Don't you get that feeling when you're doing it? It's like, what am I doing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, I think there's so many other layers to it as well. And as soon as someone, you know, reassures you that like, actually, thank you for this. This gave me a little bit of light, a little bit. We forget how music is so important in times like these. So I was just like, I'm not going to second guess myself. I'm just going to do it. And just see what happens and like figure it out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you, throughout this time, you've done some, I saw you did some PAC live streams.
Yeah.
And what's going on with Beatroot Revival?
Yeah, we've been doing that. That's our main, like, Beatroot has been doing one a month. And so grateful of our Beetroot fan support, because I think for us, this is a really good avenue for shows, because our very first Beetroot one, like, the numbers were, like, they blew our mind. But we forgot that, like, I'm from Ireland, Ben's from England. We're so far away for a lot of people. We've done these extensive tours. National tours. Yeah. But like, it was funny, because after each one, you're like, my heart and head's always in the sky. Like, I'm always aiming for the stars. But like, after each one, you're like, well, you know, I don't really know. Like, it was amazing. We sold loads of merch. Like, people loved this, but you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
And not like, you know, the fairy tale dream never necessarily comes out of those big things. But what they did give us was this huge reach from coast to coast, from country to country. And that was when we started live streaming at the start as Beetroot. That's when we were like, for me, that's when I was like, this is where these tours are. This is the reason why. This is like the thank you for the tours. This is what we're going to give you. Because we were reaching people that were like, I saw you in Wisconsin. Right, I saw you in Germany. I saw you here. And it was like, oh my word, it is.
That's the exact.
There's that little light.
Yeah, that's the exact thing that I noticed, was I thought like, well, it's kind of weird. I wonder who's going to come. And you're like, oh yeah, I haven't toured in years as myself. There are people that just haven't even seen you in so long. And they're like, holy shit, I can see you now, you know?
And then our families obviously can like really support us properly. You know, not that they don't support us properly, but they can't get to our shows or like, so, and then the people in Austin who would have regularly, it's like for us as Beetroot, it has been a real helpful, like that's really been the main sustainable stream for me each month, you know, because obviously we have a bigger reach. And then the pack, we didn't do anything until I think it was like maybe a month ago, you know, there was like talk about should we do it, but we were super cautious and responsible and just wanted to make sure that we did the right thing. And but 2 months into quarantine, we started like becoming a pod together just for sanity. And then we were like, right, well, we've been really safe and responsible. We've taken all the precautions. We really want to make music together because we love it. And we just took a little chance with that a couple of weeks ago, and it felt so good just to get together with friends, you know, and just sit and sing.
Yeah.
That's all that is, you know. It's pure music at its purest form.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And I'm glad that you guys were able to hang together. And
at this time, I feel like community and friendship and the little family that I have built around me here, obviously not my blood family, who I miss tremendously right now, but my family that I have here in Austin have just, like, that's the reason we can get through this shit, to be honest, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it reminded me of how important those things really are.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Only Love. This is your debut solo album.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Like,
how did you do it? What's going on?
So obviously I've put everything I had into Beetroot. Both Ben Jones and I have for the last 6 years. We made six albums together in that time. Like, we're pretty, like, just keep pumping it out. And I think this quarantine period, and maybe just leading up to that, I think we both were aching to like find a home for the songs that maybe necessarily didn't have a place in Beetroot.
Right.
And I think we had got to such a good place in our personal relationship that we were able to do that. Like, maybe when we were clinging so tight to Beetroot for so long, we didn't feel like we had that love and support for each other to do it. And then we finally got to that place and we were like, okay, I love Beetroot. I love what we make as a duo. It's one of my favorite spots to be musically. But in order to keep that healthy, I think we both needed an outlet and an avenue to just express ourselves as individuals and then come back to Beetroot. We're going to start making our next album probably we've already started really, but we haven't put down a date. But, and then, so with that freedom, I had a bunch of songs and I just spoke to my friend about this actually at coffee. I'm a very quick when I commit and I to make a decision, I just go. And it was literally like blast off. I felt like it was the right time to do it, the right place. And I just like, I am so laser beam. It's a flaw, and it's also a
blessing.
It means
and a curse.
I'm pretty productive.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just took four great friends and musicians into the studio, and I only booked 2 days. I went to Wire Recording Studio with Stuart Sullivan.
Yeah.
Because I had built such a good relationship during our Beetroot album that I think you gotta identify what works for you. And creatively, my driving force is like everything about that studio was working for me, like very efficient, very quick, very, you know, I love the studio, but I'm definitely not a studio rat. And I like, that's nothing against studio rats, because I'm like, yeah, drink it in. But I really loved how quick Stuart operated. So we basically just went in as a band and played in a live room, laid down the 10 tracks, and that was it. 2 days later, I had presumed that I was going to take a day and do all my vocals, and they turned out so well on the scratch, on a sure. Like, I was like, oh, I'm going to get, like, I'll get the best vintage, like,
right.
And Stuart just pulled me aside and he was like, you got to listen to your scratch. He's like, you don't need to, like, he was just such a beautiful soul and such an honest person. And he was totally right. So it was a very quick process. We obviously did add some additional parts like here and there after the band had went in and
is
done.
Is that you that sang the harmonies and stuff on there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I added in the harmonies and bits and pieces like that. But as a whole, it was a really quick turnaround. And, the musicians were obviously, Dave was a very integral part, Dave Scher, in the playing and the carving out and the really like filling the songs full of that beautiful shit he does. like just all those tones and those textures, like that was such a, like having that, being surrounded by that, it was so beautiful. And yeah, it was like, I want to say I probably got it all turned around in about 3 weeks, maybe.
Wow.
And I mean, I'm talking about editing, mixing, mastering, everything.
Awesome.
And just pumped it out.
Who else played on it?
So Michael Davila is doing all the drums, and I'm sure you can, like, he is just, he's on another level, that guy. He's so creatively minded. I love him. We had Ruby Dice playing bass.
Oh, cool.
And then I had my friend Chris Wade, who's a stand-up bass player in the Irish band. He's incredible. He came in and played some stand-up. And then Hunter St. Marie played slide. And then I had Ollie Steck play some trumpet on the title track.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a pretty organic experience of just like four people in a room laying it down, capturing that live performance, and then building around it. And I'm proud of it. I've taken a little while to release it. I did the couple of singles because I just honestly didn't know when the right time was or what. But I've now, the songwriter in me took over during COVID, so I now have like a good solid 6 to 8 songs that I'm like, well, what are you gonna do? Like, you can't start making the other one, the next album, if you're still sitting on this one.
Right.
So yeah, that's basically it in a nutshell. I'm really proud of it. I have a video, a video coming with the release on Friday the 6th of November.
Oh, fantastic.
And I'm just grateful to be in a city that I'm surrounded by such like musical and creative fabric that any way you turn, like, if you honestly, you start manifesting and thinking, people are like, yeah, I can do this, I can do it. It's like, sure. This town is so full of beautiful creative people that I think that's the reason why I got this done so quick.
Yeah it's amazing. You were talking about that, about the family earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that, man. There are some really great standout tracks, like I love this song Fun. Is that like a modern sort of like empowerment song? Is that what
you know?
Say?
It's so funny, like, you actually say that one, because that's the one, like, this is where I know that I'm everybody has their own opinions. Like, Fun is like a track that I've kind of written off, which is so bad of me. But you know, the reason I wrote that song was that I had sent some stuff through to my dad and my mom, and my dad was like, yeah, there's just, you know, it's all real deep and heavy, and you know, there's nothing really light. And I was like, oh, I'm not like, and they were like, no, they're not saying, they weren't saying it in a bad way. They were just like, you're just, there's a part of your character that is very fun loving and light and childlike. And he's like, that's not captured. So I literally sat at my kitchen table and was like, all right, here you go. So that was all, that was literally just inspired by, you know, someone saying that I, that part of me wasn't in the body of songs yet.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I like yours. Your interpretation seems so much more artistic and
it
deep,
seemed like
so
it to me. Well, that's what I thought. There was almost like a tongue in cheek aspect to all the characters you're naming, like in this kind of like the kind of way.
There was, well, there was, because there was also a part of me was just a bit like, all right, I'll be fun then.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need me to be fun as well? All right, sure thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a good, Light Me Up also is pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great song.
Thank you.
It has a lot of character, that song.
Yeah, I think with this project too, I feel like I can really sing, you know, like, and I think I can really sing in Beetroot, but I think we both are very, Ben and I both are big powerhouse singers. And in order to make Beetroot work, we can't both just be like, rah, there has to be a dynamic to it. And we both have addressed that and molded in our own ways to make that a unit rather than like two people standing at the front. We had to become one. And I feel like there was elements that I missed of just being like, open, here you go to the
belting
heavens. And I think that was really what I was going for with that one. I was just like, I want to let go here. I want to let loose and I want to get it. I want to exercise some shit.
Yeah. You feel like you did?
Mm-hmm. What's
you
that
feel
say?
Like you did?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy. Like, that was a really quick, I don't like to... I had an experience once where with a producer when I was really young that was very pop oriented, and I had to sing every line probably 1,000 times, what felt like 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And I did it, and I grew from it, but it made me realize that I love capturing things quick and true and honest.
Right.
Like, I don't want you to auto-tune me. I want to be emotional in the moment. And if we can get that, then happy days. And if we don't, let me come back another day and try and get it for you.
Yeah.
So I think that's the approach I took to all these songs, was like, none were more than 3 takes. It was just like, if I can't get this, the song might, maybe is too forced. It's not, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was like, everything just, it just worked. And I'm trying not to swear.
Oh, you can swear.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Fuck is a popular word. Banshee also is that an autobiographical song?
So yeah,
I'm scared of you.
Yeah, like a lot of people are scared of me, so don't worry. Banshee. So there's Banshee is like a folklore back in Ireland.
Okay.
So when I was a kid, I was you're always told all these folklores, and this is one that always stuck with me because the banshee comes and visits you before someone in your family or somebody that you love is going to die. And she comes to your bedroom window and she screams this really high-pitched scream. And for a whole summer, my dad, his car had no fan belt because we were really remote. We always went away to like this west coast of Ireland where there was nothing for the whole 3 months of the summer. And so if something broke, it broke, and you've dealt with it for the 3 months until you got back to like more like to get it fixed.
Yeah.
And for that whole summer, my dad would come home from sessions and it's screaming, like the car would scream.
Oh, God.
So it was always a joke in our household. Oh, there's the banshee again, you know.
Yeah.
So I always knew that concept. And I think I just built that into the song and just being pretty honest, like, you know, there's some lyrics that. Some lyrics are leaning on the folklore and some lyrics are like, you know, if you love me, you know, you have to accept that I will bleed and I have bled. And like, just there was a lot, there were some deeper messages for sure. But then there's also like, there's a witch in everyone, I think, you know?
Yeah. Do you really think that?
Yeah, I do. I think, but that doesn't mean that that has to be dark.
No, of course not. Of course not.
No, I believe that everybody has dark and light, and whatever character that is, be that a witch, be that a lion, be that a ghost, be that a, I don't know, like a parrot if you want, or a penguin, like whatever your alter ego might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all have it. It's just whether we choose to dive deep down into it and let it consume us, or we work with it and we like we embrace it and realize that everybody has some darkness, everybody has some difficulty, everyone has some flaws. But there's a way to like make those flaws be a positive element of your character and your personality.
Yeah. Embracing yourself.
Totally. And not ignoring it. That's the, in my opinion, I think that's where it can get pretty detrimental and pretty destructive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read your interview with Peter Blackstock, who's, I guess, pretty much my main resource when I'm researching all this stuff.
Oh, I love
all
him.
The time. I love that
love
guy.
Love him.
And you were talking about floating heart and how you have been going through some rough times. Were they personal rough times, like just in your own head, or?
100%. Like, I've been a songwriter since I was like, I mean, I call like a, loosely. I don't mean that in like a, oh, I am a, right, you know, right. I'm not putting a crown on my head. I've just always turned to writing songs since I was like maybe 10 or 11, and reflecting on that now when it's like my career as well, it's my occupation. I've always turned to putting feelings into music and into song when I didn't know where else to put them. So like, I wasn't a journal writer. I would draw, but I realized at a young age, I loved to find melody and would find myself just making up these little stories just to feel better. And I would lose myself for hours. And for Floating Heart, like every song I write, if it doesn't have some sort of an honest connection, I don't remember it. You know, if I know that I'm forcing it, it just doesn't work for me. It works for some people, and I can be used in like a co-write, as I could do that, but it's probably not something that I'm ever gonna like want to be in my body of work as even in Beatroot or whatever. Sure. Everything has an honesty to it. Floating Heart was definitely like written when Ben and I were going through that transition of being a romantic couple into like just being friends that were working together in a duo. And I think there was a lot of the time I'd forgot to check in with myself and be like, hey, it's going to be okay. You know, it was my way of being like, even though this is hard, you're going to be okay. You're going to find a way. And there was a literal floating heart that floated past my feet. So that was like the little, you know, hippy dippy chick in me was like, oh, it's a message.
Yeah.
And I do believe it was some form of message for me, but that's for me to believe, you know? Yeah. So it was definitely an honest take on whatever I was going through during that day, that moment. And even to this day, when I sing it, it's relative, you know, it's relative to my walk of life today, even compared to a year ago. You know, because nobody has it easy. No. You know, everybody has their own battle. Some people have it way worse than I am. They have my heart in every capacity, but it doesn't mean that it's not relative to your own walk of life. Like, everybody has their own troubles to face. And yeah, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. So, Andrea, can I ask you something? You've been here a few years. What does America look like to you right now as a person that's not from here? Like, are you like, wow, man, you guys, wow. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, coming from Ireland, like, I mean, I have a pretty, I don't even know. Like, I have to be like, I have a tough outlook on things, 'cause I've seen some real shit go down even when I was a kid. Like, I lived in the north of Ireland.
Oh yeah.
So my childhood, I lived during troubles. Like, my primary school, the police station by my primary school was bombed and blew up. You know, I've seen some stuff that has not been pleasant. I've also been very fortunate to live a very, very loved life and very sheltered from a lot of it, and never was involved in any of the darker elements of it. But I geographically, I was living in the middle of it.
Sure.
So I think that's given me a different perspective. It's hard to, how, like, that's a tough, like, I don't even really know what's going on right now. And maybe that's my defense of like when I lived in a place that was actually at physical war, you keep living and you try and maintain positive outlook and good moral compass and good moral codes in every aspect that you can. And you do your part individually, you do your part to make it a better place. I love this country. My personal experience coming over here 6 years ago, I have been shown nothing but compassion, kindness, love, acceptance.
You've been taken like, in by one support. Of the Beach Boys.
Yeah. Like
Jesus. Yeah.
So I feel like I've had a really beautiful experience here and I want that to continue. I still see such light and love and positivity. I see conflict and I see a lot of division right now.
Yeah.
But I remain hopeful. Yeah. That's my outlook in life. I'm tragically hopeful all the time. I think change needs to happen. I think it needs to happen in every aspect of life, whatever walk of life it is. And it needs to be embraced. And even when it doesn't go your way, you figure it out, you move, you do your part. And I think that's kind of my outlook on it.
Yeah. Has any of this, like as a songwriter, I've noticed that the first song that I wrote during quarantine, after going back and like looking at the lyrics that I wrote, I was like, oh, I'm definitely isolated right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like different parts of it are seeping in. I just talked to, do you know Max Frost?
Yeah.
I was talking to him and he was like, he told me that all these people were trying to write songs with him. And he said he got 5 songs in a row in a week from people that literally had the word quarantine in it. And but that stuff seeps into what you're doing somehow in some way. Is it seeping into your new songs in some way?
100%. Like, you know, the last 6 years with Beatroot Revival in particular, like we have been hitting it hard. Like we said yes to every single opportunity because we had to, because we're aliens. So we're technically we're an alien to this country. So we constantly have to prove that we are justified to be here. You know, we are proving that we have enough work. So there's a different element to why we say yes and why we work so hard. Because at the end of the day, we have to provide evidence to prove that we should be here.
Okay.
So for the last 6 years, we have not stopped. Like, this was the first time in that period that we actually stopped and sat and got to really drink that in and drink their surroundings, what's going on. And for me, like, not being able to get home during this period has been really, really tough, because that's how I survived every year, was going back and forth to Ireland maybe twice or three times a year. It would always fill my boots with like unconditional love, except like just people who knew me from a child, nothing else. And I think that's been one of the, for me, the writing has, I've definitely reflected on that. So for the first time, I wrote a song about being from Belfast. And I think that was due to the conflict we were experiencing over here. You know, that was due to all of the movements that were happening here.
Yeah,
I watched some, it just, there was things, you know, on your Facebook and things like that. But there was this one speech from an incredible politician called John Hume, who was absolutely detrimental to Ireland finding peace. And his speech was about division, and it was about difference and about accepting difference and about, obviously in Ireland, it was all about Catholic Protestant. It was all about your religion, but it was still about a label. And it was about, there was just this speech that he said that was so, so poignant to what was going on during quarantine here, that it definitely helped me navigate. I never wrote a song with the word quarantine or anything in it, but it definitely, it evoked emotions in me that I have really been able to express some pretty meaningful things in these new songs that I've never, ever touched as a songwriter before.
That's good.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a journey.
Do you write with other people a lot frequently?
No, I'm not against it. It's not been a practice that I have kept up. If the chance comes up, I'll always take it. For me, writing these albums has been, I just sit and write. you know, I just get them out. It is such a personal thing. But I have written with, obviously, Ben and I have wrote a lot together. Sure. And Dave and I have written a good few songs together. Not a lot, but the ones we write are, they're sweet. They're true.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not like an avid co-writer, but no. If the opportunity comes up, I would always take it.
Yeah.
Because I think you can learn so much from other people.
What's Dave doing right now?
Right now,
Yeah, yeah.
He is. He's been working on some recording. He is actually like, our house has just transformed into this film set recording studio, and
awesome.
He has just the production value that he has created coming from this house is insane.
Wow!
Like all of our beetroots, all the streams, the quality of the stream is all down to him. It's all down to him running sound and figuring out all these new avenues in which we never had to experience before. And we have a home studio, like a full home studio here. So he's working on his own stuff. He actually has a stream coming up October the 24th, where he's going to be putting out all of his tunes and all his things. So yeah, both of us just work. We kind of work separate and then we come together for things. And then we've got a good balance going. Good
That's
dynamic.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
What's your dog's name?
Lola. She's sitting.
Lola.
She's sleeping.
I know. She's been popping up every once in a while looking. Oh,
she's
my
sleeping.
God. She's so adorable.
She's
there was
so
some
sweet.
Video where she was trying to get on Dave's lap while he was playing piano that I was just like, oh, my God.
Well, there's another one when he played a blues. I can't remember what the song was. And she's only ever done it to the blues. And he was playing his Strat and she started to howl. She is something else. She's patiently waiting. Look at her looking at me. She's patiently waiting for me to take her out.
What's funny, there was a little while ago when you were talking and she was sitting up and she was like watching you like she was listening.
She is like, she's one of the most emotional dogs I've ever met. Like she's a bullet of energy. Like she's still a puppy. She's only two.
Oh.
But if I get like, if I talk about something with like an assertive manner or like she can feel the emotion, she's always staring at me like, I think it's close to me getting mad and passion. She can't quite understand which
right,
one.
Right, right, right.
And I feel like that might be my personality that I might need to change a little. I'm not mad. I'm not crazy. I'm just really passionate.
Tell me more. Are you gonna make a record with Pack? Do you guys write songs for that at all?
We do. Yeah. Like I've definitely written a couple with that in mind. Like just because. There's five voices, like five like great voices that like I feel like I definitely there'll be ideas I come to and I'm like, oh, this would work with five voices.
Right.
So yeah, I think that is the goal. I think we all are very respectful for the projects that we have and the fact that we're very driven in those and we're very dedicated to them. But we also are like we realize that everyone's got something to share and support. And sharing each other's talent and you know, maybe opening different doors for each other. I mean, it's beautiful and people love it. Yeah. When we sit and play and love each other, I feel like that's what people are drawn into because they're like, look how much those girls actually love each other.
Yeah.
We've had a slight shift in the dynamic of it because I think you've had Ruby Dice on.
I have.
She's trying to like really focus on her own stuff at the minute too. So she's going to take a little sidestep and Violet Leah from Madame Radar has jumped in and has just added to the love fest even more.
Yeah,
so it's great.
Violet Leah is cool, man. She reminds me of like Lou Reed or something.
Oh, she's brilliant.
Yeah.
She's just brilliant. Like not just musically, she's just brilliant. Like she's got a sharp tongue, a great wit, and I love people that give it to you straight.
Yeah.
And she's one of those people.
Yeah. I was going to ask you something about that. Oh, here's what I was going to say. I'm sorry, I'm going to call you out. I think you're a little full of shit because you said you made this solo album because you're like, oh, yeah, Beetroot wasn't doing anything. I don't really have anything else. But you also have, like, Ula, right?
I mean,
you've got, like, five other bands.
I also got to make a solo record. Yeah, no, I didn't mean it like I'm not doing anything else. I think I just meant, like, I needed an avenue for these songs. So
right,
Ula
right.
is all Irish music.
Right.
And you know, that is my heart. Like that is like, I grew up singing those songs.
Yeah.
And for the first time I brought an original to that one, The Belfast Girl, because that was Pat encouraged me to write that because he's from the South and I'm from the North. And he had no idea of the stuff I'd saw, because he in the South, he like, you don't see the conflict if you're not a part of it.
Right.
So it was him. And he's like, 50% of that song is mine, by the way. I'm like, yeah. So, yeah, I think I just function well being busy. Like, yeah. I create well when I'm busy. I don't know. Like, yeah, I just,
to me, it stops the voices. It's like I'm running from something for sure. I have no idea what it is. But if I stop,
yeah,
some bad shit's going to go down.
I mean, I've definitely embraced some quiet time during this COVID. Like, uh-huh. I can take a lot of joy in the little things in life, like my dog, mm-hmm. Food, yeah. Drinks, friends, you know? So I think for a while, like maybe during the first few years here, I was definitely so desperate to make a different life for myself and make sure it worked. I was running, but now I feel like I can sit. I can sit and be, yeah. And I think this time has proved that, because we had no option.
Right.
We never had that test, you know, even if we were like, got to keep busy, yeah. Got to keep money coming in, got to just keep working on.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas now we're like, nah, you got to stop and you got to sit with yourself and you got to be okay with that space.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed
it. Do you know who the American comedian Joan Rivers was?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know a lot of it, but yeah.
There was a documentary, I think it's on Netflix. There's a documentary about her, and it was done when she was still alive. And she was like, I think late 80s or early 90s. And her assistant was like, she freaks out if there's a hole in her calendar.
Yeah.
Like, she freaks out. And you'd see her all the time opening the calendar and being like, man, 3 months from now, we got 4 days with nothing. What, mm-hmm. What's going on?
Yeah. You know?
I feel like when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, that's what show business people are like.
Yeah. I definitely have a little bit of that in me, but I think I'm learning to be much more balanced with it.
That's good.
And like, I have been a songwriter since I was a little girl. So I've always craved that downtime as well. Like, I do enjoy space in the calendar to just sit with the shit that's going on.
Yeah.
Like, because, and it not doesn't necessarily mean like I can never schedule in when the songs are going to come. I can never be like, oh, well, there's a break in the calendar, I'll just song right there. It always just comes in some sort of a wave. Mm-hmm. And I think COVID has given me time to really sit in the wave and actually be like, just really listen to yourself, you know, like listen to what you're trying to say and not having to distract yourself too much. Mm-hmm. You know, if that makes any sense.
No, I understand. I think there's a lot of people that are spending time just completely distracted. I know I've had my times during this time like that.
Yeah. And I think this time is also bringing up a lot of, because it's forcing people to stop. I have seen a lot of people deal with some stuff that hasn't maybe ever came to the surface before. And I'm a fan of like digging into that stuff and always getting to the bottom of it. Like I feel like that's why Ben and I, we both have that in Beetroot. Like, we made this work because we both dug in. We dug right down deep into that dark stuff where we were like in a dark place with each other, but we didn't ignore it. We went toe to toe the whole time. And reflecting on that, I think if we hadn't, we would not have the friendship that stands today, that is just clean, open. And we will still have elements of our personality that will be like, ah! But we now know how to deal with it. And we now have the respect for each other to know when to have space, to know when to dig in. Like, but you gotta work at it to figure that out. That doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
Didn't for me anyway.
Yeah. Have you been listening to music during this time? Like, have you gotten into anything?
Yeah, I've really, like, Dave got our record player fixed and got a new cabinet. And so I've really dived into getting my hands on some vinyl again. As a little kid, I used to always play with my dad's stuff.
Yeah.
And I, with all the moving, I've never, like, this is the first time I've actually had a home here as well, because we were constantly moving, you know, living with people. But this feels like a home. So I've slowly, you know, because financially vinyl is also more expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
Slowly been getting my collection back together. And I'm a huge fan of this singer-songwriter from Ireland called Foy Vance.
I've not heard him.
And he he put out a record a while back called Black Swan. And it's literally one of those records that there's a few of them. There's like, I have like five in my, like I could count on my hand that I listen to. And I dream about creating something like that.
Yeah.
Because what it does to me is like, it's something euphoric. It's like an out of body experience when I listen to these pieces. Like I am gone. And I have sat on my floor with these records and just indulged in them. So there's that one. And I've really loved, I am a huge Brandi Carlile fan too. Mm-hmm. So I bought all of her, my favorite things I had on CD or my phone. I bought all of her albums on vinyl. And then obviously like Van Morrison, I had to get that collection back in. And then there's a new artist, Yola.
Yeah, I love Yola.
That Walk Through the Fire. Oh, like,
yeah,
that's another one. I have them up on like these little pedestals right by the record player. And I look at them every day. And I almost like, there's a shrine. Like, yeah, because I'm like, if I have it within me, I would love to embody what you've done here and somehow channel it into like my being, because I have so much respect for what they've done, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Those are, I really like Yola and all of her mm-hmm. music that I've heard. There was something else I was going to say to you. Are you, when you do this live stream on November 6th, who's playing with you?
So I have the wonderful, obviously Dave Cher. Like once you have those signs, it's like, it's tough not to lean on them. And I'm going to keep it as a trio, I think. I'm not 100% sure yet, but I'm going to go out and do it in a very special location. And I have myself and Dave, and then I'm going to add in my drummer, Michael, who played on all the tracks, because the stuff he'd done on, like, I don't know whether with listening, when you hear the parts that he played on the drums, like, it's like he pulled out that tribal element of my drumming, and he just embodied that in a kit. And I was like, you get me, you know?
That's funny, because when he does go to those places, I was wondering, I was like, well, I mean, she plays that thing. I wonder if she can play drums too. Because it was exactly what you do in those songs, but on drums.
Yeah, no, I don't play the kit. I think I just put all of my rhythm into that one drum. And yeah, maybe at one point in my life, I'll sit down at the kit and give it some dedication. But no, I'm happy enough with my little hand drum. It's me. It's everything I am. But I feel like I find a drummer that really gets that for me, you know. And when we're in a live setting, oof, it makes my skin light on fire playing with him. Like, I don't know. I just get so excited.
That's awesome.
It's like band's guitar playing too. Yeah. Like when he plays that acoustic, the way he plays it, like I feel like if you guys could hear my inner monologue, it would just be like a constant. Like that, literally, I'm so excited because I'm like, and I put it into the drum and I'm like, be cool. But inside I'm like, this is fucking brilliant.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And Michael does that. So I feel like when you get that, and look at the dog. She's like, are you going to play with me now? And when you find that in a person, like, and they can understand that part of your music, that's precious. And Dave Cher, 100%, like that part of my heart that I pour into those songs, he can get that and he can embody that musically without a word, just a tone. And I'm on the floor. Like, and I feel like he does that with anybody he plays with. Like if he knows what's going on there, like there's a gift in that man when it comes to like putting an emotion into an instrument. Yeah. And I feel like he did that on my album and I'll be forever grateful.
Even on that Fox 7 thing, I just remember being like, God, he's so fucking good.
He's a gift. He's like, so there's cool. times I forget that I'm singing because I love instrumental music. And I'm like, I have like a little visual movie always playing in certain songs. And I'm like, shit, got to sing. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Because he really moves me as a musician. He moves me.
Yeah. He moves me too.
And as a person.
Yeah. 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 I like him. We did a thing here, but there was a weird pressure, outside pressure on both of us. Mm-hmm. And we agreed to do this again without the outside pressure.
Yeah.
The man was on our tail or something.
Yeah. He's a wonderful human, sensitive soul, and just a beautiful human.
I've always thought he was talented and real funny. But what I thought was interesting was that sort of like, hey, man, the man is kind of like on our ass right now. Mm-hmm. Let's get together without the man. I was like, yeah. You are cool.
Yeah. Yeah. He is a good soul that you want in your life, yeah. You know? Yeah. And I'm grateful I have him in mind, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and you guys make a great team. Yeah. Well, congratulations, man. This record, Only Love, is unbelievable. What a great debut solo album.
Thank you so much. Yeah. That, like, genuinely, that means so much. I am sensitive at my core, and I have been a little torn about this just because it's only me that's taking the rap for it.
Right.
You know?
Because normally you have the pack, you have Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just me. So, there's been certain things that I've went forward and back with and not sure, but to hear people believing in it,
yeah,
it really means the world. So yeah. Thank you for taking the time.
Oops. It's nice. And also, like, congratulations. There's a lot that you have a lot on your plate. And you're extremely creative and you're able to do it all at a great level, which is amazing.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm lucky that I get to work with incredible people. That's, you know, I don't take credit for all, like, I just enjoy working. I enjoy being creative, but I am so incredibly grateful that I'm surrounded by such beautiful humans who are also so mind-blowingly talented, yeah, that I feel like I have no problem celebrating. And if my gift is to push and be productive, that's what I'll bring to the table. But their gift is just being a good friend and bringing amazing talent that is easy to, like, to, you know, I don't know, share in.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to use Dave's name in the thing.
I know. Look at that.
Give him another plug. Well, congratulations. I'm sure there's tons of stuff we're missing, and maybe you'll be back on again.
Love to come back.
Yeah. This is a great record. And I'm really glad you're here in this town because you bring a lot of great energy to the scene.
Oh, thank you so much. It means a lot, especially when you miss home so much. So that the love that you get and you get to share in is greatly appreciated by my heart. So good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, you are greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks for doing the show. Tell Dave I said hi. And good luck.
Thank you. I'm going to go take my dog out for a walk now because she's been like, when,
she's
Mom?
Been good. Bye, Lola.
All right. Take care. Bye, you take care of yourself. Be safe.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Gang, that's Andrea McGee. Her debut solo album, Only Love, out this Friday, November 6th. And she will be doing a special live stream Friday, November 6th at 5 p.m. CST. Go to AndreaMcGeeMusic.com for all of your Andrea McGee needs. Great talking to her, man. She's very, very cool, man. So talented, such a diligent worker, so driven to create. It's inspiring, always inspiring, man. I'm looking forward to that Dave Scherer album, too, man. I need to get him on the show. Back on the show, talk about the real stuff. Hey, gang, talking about the show, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you stream and download your podcast, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, wherever it is, man. New shows all the time, usually 3 shows a week at this point. A classic episode from the vault that we stream, and a couple of new episodes, conversations with great artists like Andrea McGee, whose debut album, Only Love, drops this Friday, November 6th. Go to Andrea McGee Music for all of your Andrea McGee needs. And gang, have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Halloween's coming. Did you vote? Don't forget to vote. Gang, don't forget to vote before this thing is over. This week, you can early vote. You can early vote till Friday. All right, let's get down. Oh, you called me out. How can I run away from you? Floating high. Oh, you called me out. All of the things that I should.
said I shouldn't do.